Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
They're the number one defense for a reason. You know, they do a lot of special things. Starts up front. Of course, Myles Garrett is one of the best players to ever play his game, and he proves it week in and week out. And their linebackers do a great job. Six is a great linebacker. He's a great player. And then on the back end, they do a good job of having sticky coverage and things like that. So there's got to be on our A game, execute at a high level, and I'm excited for the matchup.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Texans in the playoffs, January 12th, 2024. I am Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. And guys, it's finally here. I've been waiting all week just to kick this thing off. I've been rocking away at the edge of my seat, but now I'm ready to roll. Here they come to mix things up. Bet your boots they're tough enough. Let's get ready to root for our team. Hey, all you Texans, get up and scream because it's football time in Houston. Man, we're ready to play. We've got no time to lose now. It's red, white, and blue on Saturday. I'm very excited for tomorrow afternoon's 3:30 Texans-Browns game, which will be aired on NBC. I will actually be out the game. Congrats to the Texans. They sold the game out. We'll see how many Texans fans are in attendance. I do think it's going to be better than what we have seen all regular season. And I got to say, things are really trending in a positive direction towards a possible Texans W. And it's on the injury front for a change. So offensively, Saturday in Indianapolis, the Texans had pretty much just Nico Collins at wide receiver. Yeah, there was John Mechie. He's been a bit of a disappointment in year number two, fully healthy. Also, Xavier Hutchinson. He's a late-round draft pick. You're not expecting much from him. So it's a big deal that Nico Collins had the day that he did without much help at wide receiver. Shout out to Gus Bradley's very predictable cover three defense, which C.J. Stroud was able to carve up. But Robert Woods, dealing with a hip injury, and Noah Brown, dealing with a back injury, were back yesterday at practice. So the Texans should have an offense that is full strength to go up against that defense that you heard C.J. Stroud mention just a moment ago. And defensively, we got some really good news. First off, Will Anderson, who was unable to go for the previous Texans-Browns game on Christmas Eve, a game where Joe Flacco was sacked just once, he will be able to play, still dealing with an ankle injury. He is officially listed as questionable. And even better, the Houston Texans leading sacker, Jonathan Greenard, when asked about his status yesterday, had this to say.
Just getting back in the swing of stuff. Felt pretty good. You know, just going to continue to see where we go and progress through the week. And Saturday, we're going to be good to go.
How important is it to make Joe Flacco uncomfortable?
Very. It's very essential to this game. As we know last time, I mean, Amari Cooper had, 200-plus, you know, out there. And that's what we're trying to affect the quarterback so that way that doesn't happen. Obviously, you can get off the spot a little bit. And this is a playoff game. So somebody's going to have to make some plays. They're going to make plays. We're going to make plays. We expect a hard-fought physical game, but definitely it's going to be a matter of who doesn't mess up the most, who makes the most plays.
With all those latter things, a lot of cliches, but the first part of that from Jonathan Grenard, what you heard, I'm going to be good to go on Saturday. To have your two leading sackers for a team that led, had the best record as far as sack number in NFL history. Not NFL history. What am I talking about here? The Houston Texans. Shut up, Sean. The Houston Texans broke the franchise record for sacks in a season. Yes, it was 16 games. And yes, the last 2 years where it was 17 games wasn't good. But they're going to have their two best sack artists out there, both Jonathan Grenard and Will Anderson. Nailed it that time. Want to just edit it out, Sean? Can we do that? Too late? No?
Yeah, yeah, I'll just dump it.
All right, cool. We'll just dump those like 30 seconds.
People thought you were
having a mild stroke.
Like a binge, yeah.
I had a little Gary Kubiak moment right there. But guess what? I will be able to finish today's show, much to the chagrin of lots of people out there. So that's the promising development for the Texans on the injury front. Now you've got the Browns. Yikes, the Browns had a bad day yesterday. So, we already know that they're banged up, given that Joe Flacco is starting. Also, Amari Cooper hasn't played since Christmas Eve. They've lost three tackles this year to injury. Did you know their left tackle played for the Texans earlier this year? Like, that's how bad things have gotten for them. The Texans' offensive line, which was flailing wildly to throw any guy out there, had Jaron Christian on the team earlier in the year. He's their starting left tackle. He has been for nine starts this year. James Hudson's their right tackle. These guys are backups. Grant Delpit, their safety, who has started all 13 games that he's played this year, out. Dustin Hopkins, their kicker, out. So they're down to their backup. But here's the biggest development. And it took place yesterday at practice. Denzel Ward, their stud cornerback, a guy who shadows the opponent's best receiver all game long. He injured his knee in practice, and it's unclear if he'll be ready to go on Saturday. I imagine the Browns like the idea of throwing the fog of war out there to make the Houston Texans think twice about whether or not they can go into a game without having to fear Denzel Ward. But if Ward's a guy who follows the best receiver for whatever team he goes up against every single game, and you got Nico Collins coming off of a nearly 200-yard receiving performance, I mean, aren't you going to do the exact same thing that you did on Saturday? First play of the game, bomb it to Nico. Test Denzel Ward out if he's even good to go. If he's not good to go, I mean, I think you can make some free money here. Nico Collins receiving yards, 73.5. Check at 10:30. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Check at 10:30 what the status of Denzel Ward is. Not 10:30, an hour and a half before the game. So that would be about 2 o'clock. Check at 2 o'clock to see what Denzel Ward's stat is. Sean is writing this down. I like that. Listen, if you want to make money, Paul Gallant is going to give it to you through his friends at MyBookie.ag. If Denzel Ward can't go, hammer the over on that. I'm telling you. Stroud struggled against man coverage this season in terms of quarterback rating. Against zone, he leads the NFL. But against man, not so good, which maybe doesn't bode well. But if Denzel Ward isn't out there, Nico Collins, you would assume he's going to cover Nico all game. That's a huge development. And we know Stroud's good at throwing the football deep. So I think that's the biggest development of all yesterday. And it's all adding up, I think, to the Texans squeaking out a win. The line has even changed since yesterday. Yesterday at the end of the show, it was Browns by 3. The line is now Browns by 2. I wonder if that'll be even by kickoff tomorrow. This Denzel Ward injury, I think, is a very big deal and great news for the Texans. So no real excuses in this one. You're healthy. The Browns are more banged up than they've been typically. And you also might have the great Myles Garrett eraser. Saw this yesterday per Next Gen Stats. Laremy Tunsil has allowed just one pressure in 40 matchups, which basically means, I guess, snaps against one another in terms of pass rush, because I doubt that Laremy Tunsil has played against Myles Garrett 40 times. That sounds like an NBA kind of matchup. but he has allowed just one pressure in 40 matchups against Myles Garrett. It's the lowest pressure rate that any offensive lineman has allowed against Garrett. Everything's trending in the right direction. Do you have the battle red big balls to pick the Houston Texans to victory? I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling a W. But I want to hear what you got to say. 713-780-3776 to call in. It's also how you text in. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can tweet us at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes. So you've got that, and Sunday's going to be a really big game for a guy that gets a lot of due criticism. Because right now, this franchise, they think that he is their bitch. Uh-oh. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
It is by the juice of Safu that thoughts acquire speed, the lips acquire stains, stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Beating them the second time, it's hard to beat a team twice. So our mentality is just to go in there. We know some things won't go our way. That's the game of football. But just to stay together like we've been the whole entire season.
That's Greg Newsom on the Browns. It is hard to beat a team twice, especially when you're down Denzel Ward and the team you're going up against has a healthy Will Anderson and a healthy Jonathan Greenard. By the way, both of them are listed as questionable. So everyone's hurt this time of year, but they are healthy. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Steel Curtain 2 says there's lots of Browns fans in town. They were on 20th Street. Up in the Heights last night. Hawkley Dan, meanwhile, says, "Yeehaw, Paul!" And that's because I'm wearing my cowboy hat today. Did it draw comments while I was walking down the hallway from a certain someone who sarcastically asked, "Are you Jake or are you Heath?" Referencing Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger from Brokeback Mountain. Yes. Did I chuckle a little, then get sad on the inside when I heard that jest? Yes.
And the unnamed coworker and I did a, not a deep dive, just a medium dive into Brokeback Mountain. And you would be Jake because he wore a hat very similar to yours.
Okay. Well, I don't know what that means. I've never seen the movie, but I do understand the reference. And yeah, it's a running bit on the show. And listen, just because I look like a dapper cowboy, I can understand why someone would think that I lean a certain way.
I just don't understand why, for the show, sitting behind the desk or wearing chaps. But
they're assed chaps. Are those real? I just made that up.
I don't think they are.
Okay, well,
I think they're all assless.
What is the point of the assless chaps?
I think assless implies that you're not wearing jeans underneath. If you're assless chaps, you're assless.
But what do the chaps do? I don't know.
That's an actual cowboy thing.
We just heard something, but we can't repeat what was said. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We got one more text before we move to our hit segment where I talk about the thing that I am, I reckon. A text from the 832. You're mentioning the Browns playing man-to-man coverage with Nico Collins. I don't understand why we don't put Stingley man-to-man on Amari Cooper. Am I missing something? We're all confused. We're all confused. We talked about it yesterday. Derek Stingley's the defensive player of the month, and he has a 1.7 passive rating against him. But D'Amico Ryan says that the Texans just don't do that defensively. Okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's something where I understand that your defense has, like, certain principles. But, I mean, in the playoffs, dude, when you have a guy who went for 200 plus against you last time they played, and you have an, like you said, awesome cornerback, defensive player of the month, like, I don't know. I think this is the time to maybe break the rules a little bit.
I do too.
Throw them on them. I'll be interested to see. That's definitely something to monitor early in the game.
It would be a ballsy changeup all of a sudden by D'Amico Ryans to say, this time we're actually going to do it.
Yeah.
And it also makes sense because, again, he had nearly 300 yards receiving against you in a game.
And I mean, this is where I don't understand enough about NFL defense to know what exactly it matters to have a cornerback lining up. If you're manning up anyway, having them line up in the same spot every down or moving with them. Like, I
don't get it either.
I don't really understand what that means. I guess maybe it's a tell that you are playing man, and so they can game, like, they can call plays against that.
Right, but even then, it doesn't necessarily have to be man. You could play zone, but they like to play their corners off of the line of scrimmage. They give a lot of cushion. I think it's one of those things that by design is supposed to prevent the big plays. Ironically, they do a terrible job of preventing those big plays despite the cushion. But I think that's more about the safeties than it is about the cornerback. Anyway, maybe we'll see something different. But Amari Cooper is really, really good, and that's still going to be tough for the Texans, even if Derek Stingley's playing really, really well of late. All right, guys. Hey. Hey. You know who else is playing this weekend? Someone I'm cosplaying as. The Dallas Cowboys. It's time for a little playing with the boys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
Sunday, the 2-seed Dallas Cowboys are going to host the Green Bay Packers. Led by Jordan Love this time around, not Aaron Rodgers. That means it's going to be Mike McCarthy going up against his old team, which swept him in the 2022-2023 season. They won the first game that year, 31-28, in overtime at Lambeau Field. They lost the playoff game, 21-7. This will be the 10th meeting in the playoffs between the Cowboys and Packers. It'll be the all-time most games played in a series for any matchup in NFL history, officially on Sunday. Mike McCarthy was asked about going up against his old team, and I'm not really sure what he was trying to say here, but he said a lot of words.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, playoff time, and it's really, I talked about in the team meeting today, is you know, this is a time for all of us to be selfish, you know, every player, every coach, every support staff member, because, you know, we put so much into this season, getting ready for the season, and we're right where we need to be, and we need to take full advantage of that. And that's, you know, that's just really the tightness that we want in the commitment. Because last year, I thought it was important for me to talk about Green Bay in the beginning of the week. I did with the team. I regretted it. I don't think that doesn't even need to come into our energy base. So you live and learn. You know, this game's about our commitment. It doesn't matter who we're playing. It really doesn't. I mean, I had no stake. I didn't watch one game prior to the, you know, yesterday's contest in preparation. So just started last night on the plane. And that's where I am, and I think that's clearly where our team.
I got to say, if we were playing word bingo, one of the last things I would have expected Mike McCarthy to say there are the two words energy base. That was a rando one. This has got to be in the back of his mind. He's a human being. Is it going to be a factor? I don't know. It's Jordan Love. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the playoffs, no matter how well he's played at times this year, specifically Thanksgiving against the Lions. He looked really good. The spread for this game is Cowboys by 7. The good news for Dallas is that just like Denzel Ward suffered some sort of knee injury at practice, Jair Alexander, who's missed a lot of games due to injury and the suspension for interrupting the coin toss and almost screwing it up for the Packers, he got injured in practice as well. As far as for the Cowboys, Stephon Gilmore, who dislocated his shoulder on Sunday, Defensive Player of the Year a couple of years ago. He expects to play, but he might wear a harness. Stephon Gilmore, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith all rested yesterday at practice, but pretty big to have probably like most of their good offensive linemen back. Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Tyler Smith, who missed Week 18. And they got the NFC's Special Teams Player of the Month in Brandon Aubrey. So I think the Cowboys are going to win. I do. I think it's probably going to be an also resounding win. Like, the Cowboys have kicked some teams' ass this year. I have a question, though. It's a hypothetical question, and it comes because of Adam Schefter saying this on Thursday. I think it would be a mistake to look at the board with the seven other head coach openings in the NFL and expect that those are the only coaching vacancies that'll happen. So, if you're a Cowboys fan, and God forbid, the Cowboys lose to the Packers on Sunday, would you want Bill Belichick? 72 years old Bill Belichick. Giving Bill Belichick roster control. I mean, honestly, the Jones haven't done that bad with roster construction of late. So, would you be willing to turn things over to a guy who's done a pretty bad job with roster construction? That might be part of the deal. But you would be getting a better actual coach than Mike McCarthy and Bill Belichick, no matter what.
The thing with the Cowboys is, and with Bill Belichick, is that like the cake is already kind of baked when it comes to this roster. You know, like there's not much that Bill Belichick would have to overhaul, because that's really where it went wrong, is in whatever 2019, 20, 21,
right,
when it became time to kind of reshuffle. You know, not just Tom Brady leaving. It happened before Brady left, but when Gronkowski retired, yeah, they couldn't really find another weapon. He's still an awesome defensive coach. So I get what you're saying, and it'd definitely be, it's a weird situation to hire a coach as a win now move, but that's how I would view hiring Bill Belichick, as like a win now kind of move. Because really, the Cowboys really just need to get better on Sundays, which is Mike McCarthy.
Right.
And that is all they need to do. I think they have a great roster. I think they have a pretty good scheme. It's just Mike McCarthy's just a dummy sometimes.
Right. He has bad moments of game management in particular. Bleed Blue comments, it didn't work with Bill Parcells. Yeah, but that's not Parcells as much as their quarterback situation was dreadful. They had Quincy Carter under center, you know? I don't lay that at the feet of Parcells on that front. But okay, say the Cowboys win and the Eagles lose to the Bucs on Monday, in a season where Nick Sirianni has been under a lot of fire, especially with the Eagles, just absolute choke to the finish. Like, I'm wondering if I should pick Baker. I put Zins in my pocket at practice. Mayfield, if I should be picking them against Philly on Monday. Would you be mad as a Cowboys fan if the Eagles hired Bill Belichick? Because that roster's ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one.
I'd hate that. I think I might be rooting as a Cowboys fan. I think I would be rooting for the arch rival Eagles to win on Sunday entirely, so that they don't end up firing Sirianni and hiring Belichick.
It's a situation where I just have a hard time imagining Belichick coaching in Philly.
That would be weird, but I could see it happening.
It'd be so weird, but I could see. The Cowboys are in the same situation of if they get embarrassed on this weekend, like, or I guess the Eagles play on Monday, which is stupid.
I hate these Monday playoff games. I'm with you.
If one of these teams get embarrassed, I wouldn't be surprised if they fire their coach.
Yeah.
And even just dealing with, like, the vacancy of the Eagles head coaching job, and you're like, oh, my God, what if they get Bill Belichick? Like, that week of angst, I think I wouldn't want it. Just the possibility that he gets, that is interesting. Maybe you hope for, like, an honorable loss. Like, honorable Eagles loss. Lose, well, I guess they're favorites, so they can't lose and cover. But, you know, lose and emotionally cover.
I don't know. I think they lose to the Bucs, like. There's going to be major changes.
There's a serious chance that they lose to the Bucs.
I agree. I'm playing horribly right now.
We'll get to it at 11:15. I might pick the Bucs.
Ooh, I like it. All right. From the 832, by the way, texter. Chaps are used to not rub your thighs raw when horse or bull riding. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Two, are we done crying because the Texans won't get Marvin Harrison Jr. and admit the Will Anderson pick took deep steel blue balls, actually just steel balls, and was the right move. Yes. Yes. Yeah, we've been here for a little bit.
Willie Anderson trade. W.
100%. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Titans might not be hiring Bobby Slowick because the coaching pool has, as far as jobs available, shrunk this morning. And we got to repeat this ridiculous Derek Stingley stat. Around the NFL we go next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter patter.
Well, pitter patter. Let's get at her.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Only gotten to watch him a little bit, but he's been really impressive. Just, you know, just from afar, like in terms of his decision making and the way everything's kind of looked, like you can tell he can throw the ball. You know, I didn't get a chance. It's not like I follow college football a ton. And Ohio State always has somebody, it seems like, the last few years that are getting drafted in the top of the draft in the spring. But it seems like he has a lot of arm talent, and the impressive part is the fact that he's been able to make really good decisions all year. So a lot of credit for him.
Oh, wow. I'm Joe Flacco. I didn't watch C.J. Stroud. You had plenty of time to, bub. Oh, I'm Joe Flacco. I've seen a lot of C.J. Stroud quarterbacks, or excuse me, Ohio State quarterbacks over the years. Seen one, seen them all. Low-key racist, high-key disrespectful to C.J. Stroud. Is that a reach? Yes. But is it fun? Yes. Around the NFL we go. We said this yesterday towards the end of the show. Houston Texans cornerback Derek Stingley is the defensive player of the month. And since week 13, a stat provided by Texans PR, the quarterback rating for passes thrown against him is a absolutely insane 1.7. Whether that's out of 100 on QBR or 158.3 quarterback rating, that's insane. But to that texter's point, it is still bizarre that for whatever reason, the Texans are unlikely to send Stingley to shadow Cooper all game. Maybe they pull a fast one Saturday, 3:30 at NRG Stadium. The Browns are 2-point favorites for mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975 for an awesome deposit bonus. I wonder if this affects the Titans' ability to hire Bobby Slowick. They've obviously reached out to interview a lot of candidates for their vacant head coaching position after they fired Mike Vrabel. We do know, though, that there are now less places for coaches to go because the New England Patriots hired Gerard Mayo, a first-round pick of the Patriots back in 2008, right after the undefeated regular season. It was written into his contract that he would succeed Bill Belichick, so you know, talk about that Belichick coaching tree. Oh, it doesn't have that much. Yeah, other than Nick Saban, who was his defensive coordinator from 91 to 94. And on top of that, drafting two future NFL coaches in the same draft. Gerard Mayo, head coach of the Patriots. Kevin O'Connell, third-round pick, head coach of the Vikings. Huh, that's part of the Belichick coaching tree, you haters.
Paul, you're such a Belichick stan. Get off your knees.
Shut up! Hey, Belichick's press conference took place yesterday. It was during this very segment, and I got a little wistful when I saw it. Here's Bill Belichick telling me, his close personal friend, goodbye.
And finally, to the fans. You know, the fans here are amazing. You know, there's so many memories of the fans, the send-offs, the parades, the Sundays. You know, whatever the situations are, the letters of support, the, you know, seeing the fans, you know, away from here, you know, at a gas station or a grocery store, or, you know, wherever you bump into them, Patriot fans here, and not just in New England, but they extend nationally and even internationally. As I've traveled, it's amazing how far the arm reaches. We saw that this year in Germany. So So appreciative of the fans for all the support they've given me, my family, and this football team.
Seattle.
And it's with just so many fond memories and thoughts that I, you know, think about the Patriots and always be a Patriot. I look forward to coming back here, but at this time, you know, we're gonna move on, and I look forward, I'm excited for the future, but always very, very appreciative of the opportunity here, the support here, and you know, the what Robert, what you've done for me. Thank you.
Oh man. I once asked Bill Belichick a single question after attending two press conferences. The first was after the Letterman jacket game at Gillette Stadium. I sat there with a big bleep-eating grin on my face. I wanted to ask him a question. Mainly, were you surprised by how bad the Texans were? That was actually what I was going to ask. But Rick effing Riley asked like 36 questions and kept hogging the mic. So I didn't get to ask it. So yeah, Rick Riley, we got beef. Media beef.
Was that when he was at Sports Illustrated still?
I think so.
Yeah.
You bitch. You fat bastard. Just kidding, because Rick Riley isn't that. I don't even know him. But also, the other time I asked him a question, it was at it was in Phoenix, Super Bowl 49. And I asked Bill Belichick what he thought about Bill O'Brien's first year. But I prefaced the question by saying, I know you're focused on the Super Bowl, but what do you think of what Bill Belichick did year one in Houston? Bill, he gave a long answer. Didn't even dismiss me. It was great. It was a great moment for us. We both, like, he could clearly see in my eyes that I worship him and that I believe him as the greatest coach of all time.
That must be the funniest thing for Bill Belichick. Something that just occurred to me is, yes, anytime, especially in, like, local media, someone under, like, 35 asks him a question, he must be like, oh, yeah, I got this sucker in the palm of my hand.
I can make this kid piss his pants. Bob Kraft, meanwhile, this is how the press conference ended. I'm not going to lie, it was a little awkward. Bob Kraft has delivered this zinger to wrap things up.
Thank you. Thanks, Robert.
He's got a cold, so I'm not going to kiss him.
Thank you.
And then they just walked off into the sunset. Hear all those cameras? Belichick opened the press conference, which he was smiling during, which was awkward too. It's just, what? He could smile? He could show emotion? He could sound like he's tearing up a little bit? he said, I haven't seen this many cameras around since Tim Tebow. And everyone, I'm sure, that was there laughed their asses off at that. The Belichick smears are already out per Burt Breer. Pat's scouts were high on Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown. They came to visit together on a draft visit, were joking around. Belichick thought they weren't taking it seriously enough, so fixated on N'Keal Harry against the scouts' wishes. Well, I wish he had listened to the scouts. But hey, Tom Brady said, I could have never been the player I was without you, Coach Belichick. Take that, Belichick haters, with the revisionist history. Malcolm Butler said, this man made me a man. So there you go. Before we wrap it up, talk more about the games in our Pick 6 segment. Two playoff games are going to be very cold this weekend. Kansas City, per the National Weather Service, is going to have extremely dangerous temperatures tomorrow night on the cock, peacock. Cover all extremities, including your head and face. Dolphins Chiefs kickoff forecast is now -1 with a -23 wind chill, and you can buy playoff tickets at Arrowhead for $55. Would you do it? Now, for comparison's sake, the coldest game that I ever could have gone to was Patriots-Titans divisional round in 2004. It was the coldest game in Gillette Stadium history. The temperature for that game was 4 degrees. It was a -10 degree wind chill. So, not as cold as what it's going to be in Kansas City.
I mean, what is 13 degrees of wind chill at this point?
I gotta say, this does sound rather miserable. I was gonna make fun of the Chiefs and their fans for being soft. No, this sounds absolutely miserable. My advice is, in addition to covering your face, buy a sleeping bag and sit in the sleeping bag during the game, because that's what my family did when they went to this game. I did not. I was luckily in Florida. Watch this I got
wearing
to go to the
shorts. You were probably wearing the, pretty much.
Yeah,
this game.
I got to go to the AFC Championship game the next week, and it was a lot more pleasant. It just snowed, but this is a miserable sounding experience.
Yeah, I mean, especially because you consider like the $55 tickets are like the upper deck, which is no doubt so much colder,
so much wind. Yeah, that's gonna be miserable.
Yeah, because you don't have anything blocking from the wind. So yeah, I had zero chance I would ever go to this game.
There is an element of if you go to football games in the Northeast, you feel like you're tough if you go to one of these games, but it is a miserable experience and you better come prepared. Like, you better come prepared.
And better freaking win. Like, yes. Are you kidding me?
But they are playing the candy-ass Dolphins in their candy-ass uniforms, and it's going to be this degree.
It's
like,
just
they're
so,
screwed,
it's
Dolphins.
It's so cold and windy. I don't know if you can, like, blow a team out. So it's going to be close the entire game. That's just how I, like, what a Texan mind thinks when it's like, oh, it's going to be cold and windy? No one's going to be able to run and play football in this.
No.
Like, they're just going to be punting back and forth because that's all Minnesota does anyway.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, because I've gone to one playoff game in my life.
Hell yeah.
Colts-Texans.
Oh, no, that was a rough
2018, I think.
21-7, yep.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Watson was garbage in that game.
Yes, I cannot imagine that. Luckily, that was a nice, comfortable day inside Energy Stadium. I can't imagine if it was negative 23 degrees. I would not have stayed.
I've got enough for my entire life. I'm with you. Like, yeah, call me a soft boy, but yeah, that would be hard for even me. Marty Griffin, who is a Pittsburgh radio host, said that sources tell him Steelers-Bills could get moved to Cleveland if lake effect weather and state of emergency is declared in Western New York. Browns Stadium officials have been told to be ready. Two people denied this report, but I guess there's going to be a ton of snow for the Steelers-Bills game. So a ton of snow.
Good.
And a freezing game, and NRG Stadium, the roof will be closed.
Yeah, I do like we have like a perfect separation of we have the freezing cold games, and then we have a game outside in Florida, and we have a game in a dome in Texas, and we have a game in a dome in Detroit.
Here's a question, Sean, on the off chance it ever snows here, and I doubt it ever will because we're so close to the Gulf. I think you got to open the roof. If it ever snows,
maybe.
I think you got to do it. I mean, we're missing on Saturday. The Arctic stuff isn't coming until Tuesday, I guess. Bundle up and good luck at the grocery store. May the odds ever be in your favor.
Can't wait for that.
I know. I mean, I'm going right after the show. I'm like, oh, damn it. I guess I got to go stock up on toilet paper and on water because that's apparently what everyone does. That's how you properly prepare for a storm. I am very curious about how this one's going to go down as far as the actual snow there, but I would love to see if it ever snows here in Houston and there's a playoff game. I would love the Texans to finally open the roof.
Are we sure? How well do we think that the roof opening mechanism will work in the cold?
It definitely won't.
Okay.
I imagine it doesn't work now, and that's why they never open it.
I imagine it just makes like a like, that's why they don't do it, is because it'll just be so loud and embarrassing.
It would be a really funny prank if someone just like opened it in the middle of a game. It would be pretty funny. All right, there you go. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to talk Texans-Browns, you can. The game's tomorrow, 3:30. We're going to have a post-game show here, by the way, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 right after the game is done. You can also watch it on the Twitch, in case you didn't know that. Also, our Astros countdown continues. We're just 31 days away. Colin McHugh, days away. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Some good news for the Astros. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. God listens to us, too. Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
I heard that there was snow when there was that ice storm a couple of years ago. Thank God I was not here for that. I remember seeing from afar and I was like, all right, finally, a plus. One of many excuse me, one of few pros in the pro and con checklist of moving to Seattle. I missed that, but I also would have been stuck inside anyway, because wasn't that during the pandemic, right?
February 2021.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I was stuck inside anyway.
Yeah, pandemic was kind of over here.
Oh, no doubt. I remember I traveled here a couple of times, and I didn't tell anybody about it because I didn't want to get, like, in trouble for coming back to work like nothing had happened. Shout out to me.
Yeah.
I'm a hardworking man.
True. A COVID cowboy, some would say.
100% COVID cowboy. Oh, okay. Hey, guys. As we get ready for the Texans and Browns on Saturday, Texans really just been impressive in a lot of categories this year, but people don't talk about the special teams. For the second consecutive season, the Texans, per Rick Goslin, finished with the NFL's best special teams. Kyemi Fairbairn, check. Cam Johnston, check. D'Angelo Ross, gunner, check. Desmond King, pretty good returner, check. Multiple kickoff return touchdowns, one by Damian Pierce, another by Andrew effing Beck, check. They are good at special teams. And now you know the rest of the story. All right, guys, let's continue our countdown. We're 31 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. Give me that bone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Shout out to Colin McHugh. 2014 through 2019. World Series champion with the Astros. 58 and 35 with a 3.63 ERA. And remember 2015? He won 19 games. It was him and Dallas Keuchel. Like, that was your starting rotation.
Just name association with Colin McHugh. I'm like, yeah, solid starter. And then I realized that that's mostly because of 2015.
But he was pretty good.
He was pretty good for the rest of the time.
He also had, as a reliever, I think he had a sub-2 ERA as a reliever in 2018. So, Colin McHugh, the best number 31 in Astros history. A lot of arbitration avoidance yesterday, including with Kyle Tucker, which was a bit surprising. I suppose Kyle Tucker didn't want to hear him talk about the playoffs and fight for arbitration. Because last year there was a $2.5 million discrepancy between the two. But Framber Valdez, they settled at $12.1 million with him. Jose Urquidy settled with him at $3.75 million. Luis Garcia, $1.875 million. Chaz McCormick, $2.85 million. All those guys avoided arbitration. The only guy who's fighting is Mauricio Dubon. The Astros offered him $3 million. He countered with $3.5 million. Come on, Doobie, do it! Doobie, do it! Give him the $500,000. Can we stop acting like poors? Just pay these guys. This is legit pennies. This isn't 2.5. This is 0.5. They're not going to spend it on free agents anyway. Come on. You're already paying Rafael Montero. You can't pay Dubon. Dubon's already done more than Montero in basically 1 year of super utility work.
Yeah, I never really know how, you know, like, what's the difference? Like,
great question.
I mean, maybe this is why we're not accountants and not,
it's,
you know,
definitely in, why we're not
in charge of anyone other than our own financials. But yeah,
but hey, like, I'm responsible.
Yeah,
I'm responsible with my own financials. I mean, I do book way too many trips that I can't afford, but yeah. I'm changing my car insurance today because they raised it by $104 a month just overnight.
Yeah,
see, that's responsible by me.
True. I think it'll come out in the wash.
Right. Yeah. So I think that $500,000 is not that big of a deal. $104 to a car insurance company, though, that is a big deal. That's where you want to save the money.
That's like a quarter of a trip to Fredericksburg.
not even. The trip is way too expensive. All right. Also, guys, the Astros, Patriots, and Michigan may have another brother in arms. A man who has been accused of nefarious behavior, who has had his championship stripped. But hey, flags fly forever. A competitor in Chinese chess says he has sued the National Association in China for mental distress. The Astros should sue for mental distress after he was stripped of a title for drinking alcohol and, oh, going twosies in the bathtub of his hotel room. Well, hang on. What does that have to do with chess?
Yeah. What did he do wrong?
Yeah. Like, that can affect his social credit score, right? Like, I think we'd agree on that.
Yeah.
You're going to go down a couple of rankings in China's credit score system if you're taking dookies in a bathtub.
Yeah, you're outside the top 25
right.
In the rankings.
Like,
but
clean up after yourself. But a civil complaint, he writes that he drank a moderate amount of beer. Well, I think it's probably a little more than a moderate amount. To celebrate his win with other players, and some food caused stomach problems, and he couldn't make it to the toilet in time. So, but hang on, like if it was on the floor, that would make sense. If you're in the bathtub, does he need help? Paul Gallant, Esquire. I got a cowboy hat on. I could be your Texas Hammer with my assless chaps, which are apparently the only kind of chaps. The complaint came 1 week after a social media's post by the Chinese Association of Gambling that described the drinking and defecation. He damaged hotel property, violated public order. Well, that's private order, right? What you do in the bathroom is between you and
I think it's because it's in a hotel.
Ah, okay.
Even though, gray area as far as I'm concerned, but.
It said it had a negative impact on the tournament. No, it didn't. He didn't do this on the board.
Hey, he did it celebrating his win.
Yeah.
Was it celebrating?
Let him
celebrating
live.
His win of the tournament? I assume it's his title. That was his popping champagne in the locker room.
Yeah, but he was popping something else.
But it was beer in his bath or in his hotel bathroom.
The beer was the reason it happened. Moderate beer drinking.
Moderate.
Just moderate.
He had one every hour, and it ended up with him pooping in the bathtub.
It's the Paul Gallant Show. Texans and Browns, it's tomorrow. You got any other hot playoff takes? Hit us. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on a Friday. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston.